Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Peace in the valley for me, dear Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. The bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down with the lamb, oh yes, and the beast from the wild will be led by a little child, and I will be changed from this creature that I am, thank God, and there'll be peace in the valley for me someday. Peace in the valley for me, dear Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There'll be peace in the valley.
Right, well, you've just been listening to Johnny Cash and Peace in the Valley. And thank you, Dick, for all the things you're telling us about the Millennium Reserve. You are listening, for those of you who have just come on air or on viewing, to Rotary Masses from Marston South Rotary Club. And now I'd like to hear from Russell, our long-standing member of Rotary, but not just in Masterton South, because you've been in other Rotary clubs, but also a very strong advocate of reading and literacy, very especially for young people. So, Russell, where were you before you came to the Masterton South Club?
Well, Marilyn, I started in 1971, joined, I was a young, I think I was 28, so I wasn't all that young, 28, in Pahiatua, which was my hometown. And at the time, my father was a Rotarian in that same club, as well as my older brother. So there were three of us in the club at the same time. And then later I moved to Palmerston North, and I was in the Milson Rotary Club for about another 20-odd years. And then in 2000, I moved to Masterton. And so I've been a Rotarian here in Marston South for 25 years. Mm-hmm. So it adds up to about 53 years, which seems wonderful. A long time. But that, as I said a minute ago, you know, it doesn't seem like that long. And you certainly, I've had great value out of being a Rotarian and, you know, doing things and just being with a lot of like-minded, positive people. So one of the things that I've been passionate about, and the club is passionate about, is literacy for young children. And we've been in a position to really help. And over the last 20-odd years, the club has had three programs going, and all of them have been involved in helping young people in our community. And I'm really proud of that, because I think it's so important to have to help children move forward. They need to be able to read. They need to be able to. They can't read. They can't learn. And it's just so important. So we're involved in three programs. The first one is the remedial reading program, which is run by our Rotarian Robert Young. That's been going 20 years. And it started off at Marston Intermediate. It's now at Marston Primary School. And it involves about 20 of our members, as well as some partners and friends who help. And 3 days a week during the two middle terms from now, and I don't think they do the last term because it gets a bit busy at school. And they spend an hour with children on those 3 days, these 20 plus Rotarians and friends sit with a child that's having perhaps difficulty in reading, and they give them support and they read and help those children. And it's a really, really good project, and it's something that we do and on a regular basis right through the year. The other one that is Dictionary in Schools, and this is a program that Marilyn Hunt, who was a long-standing Rotarian in our club, was responsible for starting. And this is not just, and you may say, well, dictionaries in schools in this day and age, why would you want to be giving dictionaries to children? The dictionary that the children get is not just a run-of-the-mill small pocket dictionary. It's a beautifully illustrated Osborne pictorial dictionary, and it's quite a special. It's a special print run that Rotary International have done every year, and it was started in New Zealand by a past world governor, Bill Boyd, who actually was an amazing Rotarian who passed away about 2 weeks ago. So it's his legacy, really, and our club have continued with it because it's extremely well received. The books go to about to all. Originally started with two low decile schools in Masterton, and it grew from that to it's now 12 schools, including all the Masterton schools, as well as the rural ones, local rural schools. And it goes to the level 4 children, which they're usually 8 or 9 year olds. So it's extremely well received by the children, the parents and the teachers, and we get great feedback from them. So I hope that we will continue doing this, because I believe it's a very, very worthwhile project that we do. The one thing about this, if anyone's seen the Osborne Dictionary, the children, I've seen children with this dictionary, and they actually read it because it is readable, and whereas you wouldn't pick up a dictionary and read, but this dictionary is readable. So I think it's a very, very good addition to our
and it's very well illustrated, isn't it?
Extremely well illustrated, yes.
So what are the sort of how does it work? Do the schools just say how many children they've got in each class?
I think our coordinator checks with the schools how many they have in each in this particular level 4, and then the books, the dictionaries are ordered. And then we have Rotarians that take them along and deliver them, and the schools usually have a special little ceremony, and each child is presented personally with their dictionary, and it's inscribed inside, so it's something that they treasure. So it's done. It's a very, very good project that our club does.
That's great, and they have their names inscribed, but they put their names when they get them, don't they?
I remember
that because I was handing them out at one of the schools.
But it's clearly shown that it is a rotary.
Inside, that it's, yes.
Rotary,
that's right, yeah. And so are they, those dictionaries, because it's been going for quite a while, are they updated or...?
Well, I think it started in 2008, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so it will be, it certainly would be updated, yes. No, that's right. They're new dictionaries, not as if they have stockpiled thousands of them.
And tried to get rid of them.
I understand. I did do a bit of research and found that they're printed in Dubai. So perhaps Emirates... contributing to it. And I know they do have the same dictionary in the UK.
Oh, do they?
So the Rotary over there do it. So I think it is a pretty worldwide thing.
Yes. So it's not specifically New Zealand dictionary, is it?
No, it's not. It's certainly not a New Zealand dictionary. No.
But I have seen them, and they're beautiful books.
They are, yes. Yeah. So,
I mean, the importance of, because we've got 9 grandchildren of various ages, and like a lot of kids, they vary in their attachment to reading and books from 0 to 100%, basically.
Yeah.
And so one or two even of our own grandchildren struggle to read. And, I mean, I presented over the last couple of years or so to the Fernridge School up at where one, a couple of our grandchildren are.
Mm.
And the kids all understand what this is all about.
Yeah.
I think that it's, I mean, some children struggle with getting words around the wrong way, dyslexia, all the things that young people struggle with reading. And if you, I'm biased because I love reading, I always have, if you struggle to read and you're put off and you're shamed because you can't read, that's a huge handicap to a young person in life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Russell knows perfectly well all about this, but there's a bit of a divide, you know, if you're not careful, between children who learn to read and love to read, and we all know kids that go to bed and read and read and read, and others who don't. And today, with obviously modern, electronic devices, there's a temptation not to get an old-fashioned book. I mean, I've got a Kindle thing which I hardly use. I still have books that I like the feel of them, the touch of them, the smell of them, and I like still turning the pages. And I think that the fact that this is what Russell's described is actually a physical dictionary that may sound old-fashioned, but I think it's still really, really important. It's just part of what every child should have. Some will embrace it instantly, others may take a little time. I just think it's fantastic.
It is too, because also, you know, you can go and Google things, but it's just not the same as having that one book where you've got the explanation and the definition of something.
Yeah.
I think also, you know, the reading problems with people's reading these days, there's so many really good books, because I've been involved in the MPS in the B band, who sort of fills in different times. And some of the books that those kids have got to read from, they're so interesting, you know. I mean, it was much different from Janet and John back in the old days.
Well, we could move on then. I think we were talking about the benefits of reading.
Mm.
And this is the final, which... program which I'm very much involved with, is Books for Babies, and that's all about getting books into the hands of babies, right from the birth, basically. And there's no question that it's so important for just the bonding of a mother with a child and a book. There's no better way, or there are probably, but it's an amazing opportunity for mothers to bond with their children with a book, a lovely picture book. And this is something, and we know this because there's research which proves it. And this is our the Books for Babies, which is the thing that is dear to my heart. And as a bookseller for 59 years, I think it was.
Oh, you started before you were 28.
I started before I was a Rotarian. Anyway, this is something that we started our
club. Did you start it? Was
well,
it you?
I can tell you what happened. It was Freya Kerr was very much involved with early childhood development as an early childhood teacher. That was her life. And she was a Rotarian in our club. And between the two of us, and I'm not saying sure how it came about, but between the two of us, we thought we could do something here. Russell, you can source the books. You're a bookseller, and we can talk to Plunkett. I'm sure they'd distribute the books. So that's what we did, and it started off. I think I bought a range of books and let Freya have a look at them, and she thought they were delightful. They were mainly sort of children's picture books with lots of colour and very few words. And we went along to Plunkett and said, "What do you think of this?" And they said they were over the moon, said, "Well, these would be wonderful to give out to newborn babies, because we like to give them something when the mother arrives with a baby." So we were away. So it started off with a very small way, 150. And then a little bit later, Freya, I remember saying, "Well, you know, we really should include Whareora, because they do have a lot of babies as well and that they care for." So we expanded it to Whareora. So that meant we were going from 150 to 300 books a year. So this is 20 years ago, but we started off quite small. And so that was okay. And then it was hard because, Whareora and Plunkett, where do they cut off giving these books? Because they both serviced the Wairarapa. So I sort of said, "Well, go for it, and I'll worry about the. I can get the books, and I'll worry about twisting the arm of the club to pay for them later." So basically, which I'm a bit naughty, I know, but that's what happened. So we did, and the club said no way. Yes, good. No, didn't say no way. They said yes, please. We're happy to do this. So it expanded. So we basically got to the stage where we were pretty much ensuring that every baby in the Wairarapa was born would get a book, and we couldn't guarantee that if the baby wasn't involved with Plunkett or Whareora, there would be some, we couldn't pick up those, and there's bound to be the odd one missed. But in the main, that was the plan, and it seemed to work. And then so that was the sort of the 500 about 600, no, about, yeah, no, about 300 books. Then it expanded to about 500 or 600. And then both organisations started running out. And I said, "Well, why are you running out? Because there's not, there's only 500 babies. And they said, "Well, it's very difficult, Russell, when you go into a home and new baby there, and there's a little toddler, 2-year-old, who just... how can you not give them a book too?" So I sort of went back to our Rotary Club and said, "Look, we need to get a few more books, because there are children in these homes that would love a book." So we're now up to 800 a year books that we purchase and give out through the Plunkett and Whareora. And I'm just going to read, roughly what Plunkett had to say about, and this is Plunkett nurse Linda, said the program was incredible, particularly because it was for everyone, everyone, and every baby gets a book. Linda also said She'd never had a negative response from her family, and most were overjoyed to receive such a generous gift. Plunkett wouldn't be able to provide the service without Rotary support. It's great. Lots of families don't have a lot of books, so it's a great way to get books into the homes. Whareora Joe was also enthusiastic about the program. The earlier children can start literacy journey, the better, Joe said. And things like learning to turn pages, point out words and look at pictures are important steps in this development. Getting books into homes was also good for bonding, Joe said. Most of the time you're reading with a child on your lap, so it's quality time. And so they really sum it up. That it's, and I every year, I mean, I'm expecting about 2 months' time, I'm expecting a phone call from both of these organisations saying, Russell, can we order some more books? So, and I know it will come, and we'll order them. And I've got a supplier that I can still get books at the right price, and which is important.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And they will, even though I'm no longer a bookseller, they respect that, the fact that they're supplying the Rotary Club.
And those books are all named with having been supplied by Mars himself.
That's right. We have a working bee, which is a very pleasant working bee at my place. I provide a coffee and something to eat, and we have a lovely time putting the labels on the books. And it doesn't take long when we have about half a dozen Rotarians there. So it's.
Is there any? Do you sort of go for one type of book, or do you just have a collection of what you get?
It's really what we can get. We really have found Harry McCleary have been the most popular.
Of course.
And we can't always get them every year, but when we do, we usually go half of them will be Harry McCleary's, because there's about 10 different titles. And then we look at the other titles we had. The Dr. Seuss books have been popular, not always able to get those. And in the main, the others will be sort of what we call picture flats. They're large format picture books. We don't go into any sort of Little Red Riding Hood or any of the, those ones, which are a bit too scary for young
babies,
children, babies. Mainly sort of lovely picture books about Little Brown Bear or the fire engines and for boys and things. You know, it's difficult to get real. People have said, why don't you give, rag books like we used to have? Well, of course, you can't buy those now.
No,
and if you could, they'd be far too expensive.
Yeah.
And in the main, these books are bright and full of pictures and ideal for a mum to read to, or a dad.
And of course those books are provided really by our fundraising activities that we do, which is the mini golf and the Sunday market, which is basically where that money goes to. These projects,
that's exactly right. But it's, I think it's a, these are programs that are which they fly under the radar. A lot of people don't realise what we're doing, but it's something that is so important. And if we're making just the slightest difference, which I'm sure we are, we must be doing some good.
Yes, because there's been so much about children's literacy and that, in the education system that they can't read and,
Well, and Russell's, dead right. You've got to start. I mean, and most of us have sat on our babies' and young people's bedsides reading to them. Sometimes the books get a bit moth-eaten, but they're loved.
They're loved.
And that hopefully leads to the kids learning to read for themselves, which is the next step, and so on and so on. And honestly, I mean, Russell will know better than I do, obviously, but there's such a huge quantity of fantastic books now.
Oh,
you know, the idea that people, that books are no longer...
Think.
I mean, you go into I love bookshops, I'm reading a new history of New Zealand at the moment called Making Aotearoa, which is by a modern New Zealand historian. Now, I've read several histories of New Zealand, and this is another one. And all I'm saying is that as time goes by, I mean, I'm a history nut, actually, even at the advanced age that I am, I can still learn by getting hold of a book and spending time. I mean, usually I'm reading and it falls off the edge of the bed and I read myself to sleep, but it's not the same as watching a television program or reading a thing on a computer or something. A physical book in your hands, and you know, and then my wife says, why have you kept so many books in your bookshelf that you've already read? I said, because I just like them.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's quite true, though. It is, too.
I have exactly the same problem. Yeah. I'm keen on history books, and I've bought quite a few from the auction in Wellington, and a big box of these books arrived the other day, and I said, Why do you have to buy all these for? And I said, because I like them, and they're all history books that
I've got books for Africa at home too.
And Macedon's still got a very good library. And there's always I've served in local government and been through all the arguments in our community down south about, you know, preserving rural libraries, which is always an argument about, you know, oh, it's costing a lot of money and all the rest of it. But if we ever get to the point where we don't have a public library system, and still, I mean, the Marston Library's got modern technical, you know, electronic stuff and DVDs and all the rest of it, but it's still got a heap of physical books.
Yeah, the books and you can't
and
go
the
past
idea
it.
That you can, you pay your rates, of course, but go in there and borrow a book for a while and then return it for someone else to read. And around this town, I've also noticed there's little wee boxes.
Yes, there are, with the boxes.
With glass windows on the front of them. The people just come and put a book in and take it out again.
That's wonderful.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
This town actually has, as a bookseller, has been regarded as a very high reading town. The books sold, we've got two very good bookshops here. Mm-hmm. I mean, Headley's, which has been over 100 years. But for the population, we have more books sold in this area than just about anywhere else in New Zealand. And that comes from the publishers. So it is
I think it comes from some of the things that you've been talking about, that you've been getting people initiated into
them. Well, I think we've got very good schools as well. And so I think we're well set up here for, and as you say, an excellent library, and all those things are just so important. You know, we just need to protect those and encourage, because it's part of our legacy to support them.
To do that. Well, thank you very much, and thank you both gentlemen for all the interesting things you've been talking to us about. And we remember the 1st of March for the QR code, and the fact that if you were expecting a baby this year, you might be getting a book from us, or I might be seeing one of you if I'm filling in for someone down at MPS with the reading recovery and the dictionaries, which will probably, some of us will be going and taking them around to the schools. Well, you've been listening to Rotary Matters, and this is from the Masters and South Rotary Club. I think next month, on the first of the month, it'll be the Carterton Club. But it's been lovely to be able to talk to you a little bit about what we do in Marston South Rotary, and you're always welcome to find out a little bit more about us, because we are quite a fun club, and we really enjoy what we do for ourselves and for the community. So this is Marilyn Bouzaid wishing you all a very happy rest of the day and a lovely weekend.